drunken sailor, what will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor? Lie in the morning. Way, hey, man up sure rises. Way, hey, man up sure rises. Way, hey, man up sure rises. Lie in the morning.
Welcome to Rage Quit Wire. We're in a sailing, fishing, kind of piratey mood because we're talking about fish today. Got my buddy Chris here, and we have our new co-host with us. We decided to bring him on somewhat permanently, at least till they kick us off the air. Got John Stokes from Asheville with us.
And I want to do a little Irish jig after that song.
Well, I mean, sure, why not? It was St. Paddy's Day like a couple weeks ago.
I was about to do some jigs.
So we're talking a couple things today. We got some two new models that came out. One was last week, one was this week. And then we're also going to be talking about fish today because that's one of the guilds that we haven't covered yet. So
we only got a couple more left.
Yeah, we got fish, engineers, and that might be it.
Yeah, that's it. No one will complete our goal.
Boom.
We probably need to talk about hunters again.
Yeah, we do need to talk about hunters again. All the love for the hunters. Well, I know it, John. We played in that event yesterday when we were at the dojo. And that
was it actually an event?
Yeah, we ran it, and it was on long
kind of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And basically, I was playing farmers, and when I was going against engineers, I'm like, man, I wish I had the hunters on the board.
I knew you'd miss them.
I had some theories I wanted to test out with farmers with some of the nerfs, and some of them proved valid, so.
Yeah, you just realize how slow Grange and Wendell are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind that. I like slow things, because I'm a slow So, we got a couple events coming up still. We got Old Jake's coming up at the beginning of April. Getting real excited. There's only four spots left, so any of you still sitting on the fence for that, make sure that you guys buy into it. The swag is for real with that. They got the event up. There's axe throwing going on. It looks like a badass time.
It's going to be amazing. The swag will definitely be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, the buy-in's only $22, and you're easily getting that back just in the stuff that you're going to get. Plus, you get to drink and play Guild Ball. Who doesn't love that?
Or quit playing Guild Ball and throw axes.
Yeah, you know, if you feel like you need to rage quit, just go over to the doorway and throw some axes around.
Good idea.
And then at the end of April, we have Spring Fling, which is going to be awesome. Really excited for that. John, did you end up getting a ticket to that or no?
No, I was indecisive, and then it was like sold out, and I was like, oh, well.
I guess that was decided for you.
Yep.
Well, cool. We'll definitely represent, maybe not well, but we'll represent up there for South Carolina. And yeah, those are the two major events coming up. Adepticon was last this weekend. So did you guys get to check out any of the stuff that happened at Adepticon?
I saw something. Didn't it say Zach Gray won it?
Yeah, Zach Gray won the big event on Friday with Masons. So he jumped ship on us, Johnny. Went Masons.
Oh, man. That's right. I saw that. And I was really excited. The Hunters won something big. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Which he's a good Masons player. I looked at his record and he's got a bunch of wins with him. So that's one of my other guilds I play. So I was kind of happy to see Masons get a good win.
Right.
And Alex Botts finished second with Butchers. So mm-hmm. That was good to see, too. I think one of the disappointments, though, was they didn't have the rats for sale at Adepticon.
Yeah. I heard there was like something with the shipping that messed up.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not the first time.
Well, that's the thing, though. When you have an English-based company and they're not quite, I mean, I wouldn't say they're not established, but I think they're still figuring out some of the international issues. I mean, they're not. It's not like Games Workshop, which, you know, has distribution centers like all over the world. So I think they're just still working those kinks out.
Should have took them carry on.
Yeah, right. Last week we saw Vet Gutter, and basically the Butcher's got this new model. And she does some kind of unique things for the guild. So I just wanted to, and Chris, you're our resident butcher. So what did you think about her new card?
I think that a lot of people will use her. The 2-inch melee is definitely needed. The 3-kick is needed. Movement is needed. So she'll be used. I wasn't wowed by getting her on the table. I think that I speak for almost every butcher player when I say that what I think she really needed was drag.
Okay.
And grapple hook does kind of the opposite of that. So I don't know where you want to start with her, but I mean,
well, I was really surprised with that character play that she goes to the model, because I don't think you want a butcher, even if it's gutter at a 4-1, to be going into a team that deep.
Yeah, so the issue that I have isn't so much the going into the team that deep. It's mostly that the greatest virtue that she's going to provide for the guild is that she now benefits from Ox's auras. And if she's going 6 inches toward opposing models and his aura is 4 inches, it's very likely that she's now using that ability and going outside of his auras and thus not getting the benefit. So the way that I think that most people are going to use that ability, give her additional scoring threat range. I've seen a lot of people online mention that she kind of has now a creative 18-inch scoring range.
She can jog, and then she can do her character play, so that's 12.
I guess she could charge in, so, you know, I guess it could be 20 inches. But either way, it doesn't really work that way, because it's a jog directly towards, so you're going to either go into melee with that model, or that model's going to be blocking your line of sight to the goal.
Well, here's what I think would be cool, though. So this is especially teams that kind of bunch up, is you could charge a model. I mean, so there you have, you know, basically a 10-inch threat. And this is going to work mostly on 1-inch models. I don't think you can do this to 2-inch models, because you're going to have to jog out of there melee. Yep. So a 1-inch model, you get the character play off of the charge, maybe wrap and get some damage so you get some momentum too. And then if you hit that character play, you can jog to another model, hopefully closer to the goal, and then kick the ball in. I think that would be a really unique way to get that crazy score distance.
Yeah, there are some ways that you can do it, but I just think it's not going to be... Most people looked at it and said, well, now she's got a 20-inch goal threat, and it's just not going to practically work out.
Yeah, what do you think there, John?
If the stars align, it's 20 inches, but I mean, I don't know how it ever... You'd have to align just perfectly, and you're going to have momentum before you do it, because it's non-momentous if you hit it on the playbook. And you can't run in there and push somebody out momentously. So if you run at a 2-inch melee model, you have to stop outside of them.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get counterattacked.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely, obviously, with any character play, everyone's going to say, well, there are times where you can use it. Yes, that's true. But for the most part, I don't think that this character play is hugely valuable. And if somebody shows me something different, then that's awesome. I'd like some additional tech. I think that there are only going to be very specific instances where you use this character play, and I don't think it's going to be a huge boon to the game as a whole.
What I think she's going to be good at, though, is if you have her, I would, like, if you receive especially and you want to lure the team to you, I think she's going to be great to hold the ball, because she has Resolute. So, I mean, that's going to give her +2 tack. So if somebody comes into her, not only is she a 4-1, but then she's swinging back with 7 dice. And then she's also got, you know, anatomical precision. So I think that would be a really good way to use her, too, is just for that ability.
But if she gets the ball tackled off of her, she's going to have a hard time tackling it back, because it's on 4.
Yeah, with the 7-7,
though, it's more likely.
I would say
that was a striker.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Let's take a defense 4 model, right? That's average. So even with 7 dice, you're not necessarily likely to hit that. That's right on the cusp of average.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how it works out. I do like that she has the Resolute. She obviously needs it. I like the fan favorite. That gives a nice little boost in momentum. But again, I just feel like I was really hoping that she was going to be a model that had the type of effects that some of these other new models, especially for the minor guilds, are coming out with. She was able to kind of swing the butchers back in favor, and I don't think she's going to do that. Fan favorite is great, and getting additional momentum is wonderful. There are other models that get an additional victory point out of killing a model, and so
and John, obviously, how would you see her being used? Like if you look at this card, you're like, okay, where does she fit in?
For me, she's just a 2-inch melee that does damage in Ox's aura. Like she's just another one. She fits right in the mold of same one. She doesn't stand out in any way other than 2-inch melee to me.
Yeah, and I also think though that she could also be a good kickoff choice, just because she has a good threat range. You can get that jog if you need it for whatever special circumstance you want. But also, the thing I like about her is she does have a push on 2. And the reason why I like that if she kicks off is because if you have your slower butcher models, that gives you the ability to, if they're just outside of like Ox's threat range, or if they're just outside of, you know, whatever model's threat range, she can go in and start pushing them into your scrum. So it's not as handy as a drag would be, obviously, but still it's on two, so you're likely to get 2 to 3 inches of push depending on what you get on turn one. So I think that's a good use for that maybe some other butchers don't have.
But you know, old Gutter had Life Drinker. I'd like that better if she had Life Drinker, yeah. So she was a little bit more survivable after you overextended her to do that.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people saying that was something they wish that she would have kept.
Yeah. I mean, the long and the short of it is she a nice addition to the guild as far as she's going to see a lot of table time? Is she a better option than the majority of options? Yes, she is. I'm happy to have her. I think the model is cool as hell, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
So let's talk about that element in addition. The model's amazing, and I'm going to use her. Does she put the butchers up toward the middle of the pack or to the top of the pack? She absolutely does not.
Well, here's some good news, though, is if you
also, if you take her into Tater, you're fucked, as I learned.
Yeah, that was definitely a mistake on your part. Turns out. So the good news is, though, if you follow the Wank Dungeon, which is Discord, it's the Guild Vault Discord channel. If you follow that, there's actually somebody from Steamforge that was in there that said, hey, this summer, butchers are getting a nice little push. So I know that's a ways away, but at least that's some light at the end of the tunnel that maybe this model, even though she doesn't work quite the way we want her right now, maybe in the summer, you know, they're always looking ahead, and maybe there's something they've got in the works that where she and the other butchers are going to, you know, get a little kick up. So there's some hope, right?
Here's my question, Chris. Do you think she changes the butcher's win percentage at all?
Yeah, I think that she's going to make most lists. I think that she has enough utility to make most lists. The fact that it's a model that's going to be better than what you're typically taking means that it makes the entire team better. So, yes, I do think that you see a bump. I don't think it means that you see Ox and Filet go over 50% win percentages.
Let's talk about the model that was spoiled today. So, looking at this Vet Decimate for the Brewers, let's start with John, because I know you were excited about this. Give us your first take off of what you think about this, Jay.
I think I'm switching to Brewers for my second team. She is awesome. Fast, will kill you in a hurry under Commanding Aura, and not that easy to kill because tough hide. She is everything. I think she's everything that the Brewers would want out of Decimate.
Yeah, I think she's just going to be a really nice piece just because she has 2-inch reach, which is awesome, has all those pushes. She has a double push on 2. Which is awesome for bringing people on into the beat stick. She has stagger, which is awesome for those annoying high defense models. Another thing I love off of her is just, I mean, her defense went down, which is okay, but just the fact that she has pushes and dodges, which makes her very, very versatile, and she still kept anatomical precision, which is something I think that guild could really utilize. And, I mean, I got to figure out who I would kick out of my six because she's so good that I think she fits right in.
She's close to an auto include, in my opinion. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of experience with Brewers, but looking at her right now, she's close.
Yeah. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, when I saw this card in comparison to the Gutter card, I was just pissed. Because I was like, obviously you have no problem giving other guilds all the shit that they want, or the boons that they want. They gave Decimate a 2-inch reach.
Yes, they did.
What the fuck, man? So, and a bunch of knockdowns. Oh, and by the way, now she has 5 Collins instead of 6.
That's sweet.
Yeah, you're right. It's super fucking sweet if you're a Brewer player.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're
super jealousy creating if you're playing Butchers.
If you're in Commanding Aura, okay, so you got 2 damage on 1, 3 damage on 2, even though those are non-momentous. And then on that 4th Column, you got that sweet spot where it's going to be 4 damage under Commanding Aura with a push. So,
and then tool her up. Oh, wow.
Yeah, go ahead and throw tooled up on there. Why not? Or, hey, ouch. How about you play that new sexy game plan card and you shove the boot in?
Oh, my gosh.
Anybody want to do +3 damage with Decimate? I do.
Yeah, the other thing that's mind-boggling is now she gets way, way more movement than even the original model. And people say, well, What do you mean? Like, her run is only 8.
Yeah, and she has pushes, so how does that happen, Chris?
Yeah, okay, well, guess what? You also get acrobatics, so how many models do you know of that get pushes on their playbook and then dodges on their character plays?
It's pretty sweet.
And, in addition to that, you have a heroic play, which means that, in theory, with 4 attacks, she is able to get 2 inches of dodge each time that happens. So, this is the same type of thing with the grappling hook where you're dodging toward another model, so it's not going to be perfect angles and things for you, but yeah, you can jump off of one model to another.
Well, not just that, I like the actual goal threat with that, because you're moving 8, you have a 6-inch kick, and each time you could do a double push, you get a double dodge, and if you're doing that to a knockdown model, I mean, you could do like an extra 4 to 6 inches of dodge just to get a nice goal.
Oh yeah, I understand. You didn't put anything past me there. Oh, and then also, so let's say you do 3 attacks and you get dodges that way by buying the attacks, and then you have one that you can spend, you know, to just dodge out of anybody's melee that you might need. It's just, she's good. People are going to play her all the time. Congratulations to them. I think the model's good on this one as well. I mean, all of the new models are improvements.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like what you said, John, I think this makes me think about bringing my Brewers back out.
She looks fun. She looks like so much fun.
And I think this is going to make Brewers more competitive. I think, unlike the Butchers that we saw, this definitely is going to give them a nice little boost up where it's going to be like, yeah, you got to look out for that now.
I mean, she's such a tough hide. She did go down in defense to gain tough hide. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take 3-1 with tough hide.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it fits in with the guild. I mean, she hulked up a little bit, which is cool.
That tackle push on 3 with anatomical is, man, she's such a great ball go-getter.
Oh, yeah. And that, I mean, you can argue that's something that the Brewers were lacking in. Like, it was hard for them to go peel the ball off of somebody. So, I think good job, Steamforge, there. I think that's something the Brewers needed. Because Chris is just sitting over here just
mad.
The anger seething on Chris right now.
And the model's not bad either.
Oh, no, I like that model a lot. Yeah, I was surprised that she got 2-inch reach on it. I know she has that huge, like, broadsword, but I think fluff-wise, I was still expecting her to have that 1-inch reach, so I'm pleasantly surprised that it's 2-inch reach.
Right, she went from, like, a little fencing rapier to a broadsword.
Now, let me ask you guys this, because we all 3 of us have run events before, and I saw somebody in our Carolina group post a question, I think it was actually Brian White, where he was like, looking at these vet models coming out, as a tournament organizer, would you have a problem with somebody proxying their crappy old model with these new awesome models? If you're playing Union, would you be okay seeing, you know, these models on a Union team in a tournament?
So you're saying, like, playing Union and using them?
Yeah, so you're playing a Union team and you hate your old gutter model.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Is it okay for you to use that vet gutter model on your Union team?
No, I don't care about that.
I would definitely, I'm like, hell yeah, man. I love that model. It looks great on the table. Obviously, you're playing Union, so there's not going to be a gotcha there. So, I mean, go ahead and do it, man. Rock on.
I'm going to go the other way on this.
Wow, really?
I think it's annoying when people play the model that isn't the intended model.
So, you're that guy that doesn't like people playing Vet Hearn as regular Hearn, huh?
Yeah, I don't like that. I, the reason why it annoys me is it's just another thing that I need to think about and keep in the back of my mind that, oh, yeah, that's not the right one. And so, shit, that model is supposed to have this ability, but it doesn't, or vice versa. And, of course, no one's going to cut me any slack as far as saying, oh, well, you forgot that, so we'll adjust in accordance with that. Like, so to me, it's a prime example of a player will make me look like an asshole for saying, no, I don't want you to proxy that. But they're not going to be polite in the sense that if I make an error because of their proxy, that they're going to adjust to me.
So let me ask you this. Would you be okay as a tournament organizer then saying, if your opponent is okay with it, you can proxy it?
I think that is absolutely the way to do it. I'm not going to ban it as a tournament organizer, but I think that if anyone has a problem with it, state it before the game starts. And I don't think that somebody should be thought of as being rude or anything like that to say, no, it's confusing for me. I don't want to.
Because, I mean, we're thinking almost like hyper-competitively sometimes, but you got to realize that we have a lot of casual players where a small change like that could be confusing. So, I mean, I definitely see where you're coming from with that. I personally wouldn't care. I'd be like, yeah, sure, man, go ahead. But I don't have a problem keeping track of that kind of stuff. So I can see where you're coming from.
I can't have the... I can see with some of the models, like, for example, that limited edition Rage, where they've said it can be both. I can understand something like that. But, yeah, I mean, when I'm sitting across from somebody, especially, like, a really skilled player, I don't need any other element that could potentially be confusing in-game. And so, yeah, I'd prefer if that wasn't the case. There are already enough things I have to worry about, like, did somebody put their influence directly behind the model so I can't physically see it and I don't think they have any.
I feel like that's a shot at me.
Did somebody
that's a shot at me.
Put a whole bunch of, like, corn stalks on the base of their models
what?
That also look
wrong
like harvest markers?
I tell you, so yesterday I started catching some shit because apparently people don't like me rolling in my dice box.
Why is that?
I don't know because I don't. They're like, oh, I can't see all this stuff sometimes. So
I've thought about that too, but I will give you. There are some people where I don't trust them with that kind of thing because they conveniently misread dice. But I've never seen you make an error. So
well, that's why I actually took our Lon is the guy up in North Carolina. He's a great pundit. He made a document where he's like, hey, here's some kind of norms that maybe we should follow in the community. And I'm starting to convert to it. It's still kind of something I'm messing with, but switching it to the point where I take out the misses and I leave the hits in there. So that way, if my opponent wants to see them, they can still see them. So that way no dice are changed and they can still see what I roll. So that's something I'm doing because
yeah, I think that's probably a good policy.
I've heard some people say stuff about it. So I'm like, okay, I'll do this and that'll help you see what I rolled, and I won't pick anything up. That way you can check it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's reasonable. The biggest thing with both of those is just don't be a jackass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just one of those things where this is a game and some people take it more seriously than others, and some people will cheat. It's just a thing that happens.
Yeah.
It's just kind of one of those things where the way that I view it is when I play with somebody, I want to go to whatever level they're going to be at. So if somebody is like the type of player where, you know, their measurements are loose and they don't have a problem if I'm doing the same thing, I'm not going to be a stickler to them, right? Like, I want to just see somebody be consistent, right? So if somebody is saying, like, hey, you know, all right, I played this proxy model and you made an error here, like, you know, that's fine, you can take that back or whatever, I would be cool with that. But if it's a situation where they're going to be real stringent when the game is on the line for them, then I don't want it going the other way and them being loosey-goosey when it's convenient for them.
So looking at that, we're talking about Fish today after we saw these two cool models. And looking at Fish, they're definitely – it's a unique guild because I feel like that Fish are great for new players because they're so just goal-oriented. You can mix it up a little bit with melee, but mostly they're goal-oriented. And they're also really good because they have a very high ceiling for skilled players. So just kind of starting off, what are you guys like when you hear about Fish and the Fisherman's Guild, what are some things that pop in your head immediately?
Well, I played Fish early in my Guild Ball career, if you will, because you're right. But for new players, Shark is a learn him quick and be competitive with him quick. So, I mean, the aggressiveness, you put a full stack on him and go. But when I used to play him, I didn't play Corsair at all because Corsair, I think, is the opposite. It's not just pick up and go and be good with him.
Yeah, when I think of Fish, I think, man, I'm going to have a lot of inconvenient two-inch reach to deal with and a lot of scoring threats.
Yeah, the fact that the whole team can have two-inch reach, I think that's what makes it very good for new players is you don't have to interact with the model, especially if it's one-inch reach, right? Because not only can you go in there and not worry about that counter, but if they do counter you, if it's a two-inch reach model, you have lots of movement to then back off or dodge out or, you know, make it where they can't interact with you. So I think it's a very forgiving guild, especially for new players, which is part of why I think they're an awesome guild, just because how useful they are on the bottom end of play and then also on competitive play.
I totally agree with that. I think that I would definitely guide new players toward this guild, just like I'd guide them toward the Butchers. But the nice thing about them is they can have a high top end as well. And so I really think that they should always be a prominent guild, or I'd like to see them be a prominent guild always, just because they're kind of the OG guild.
I really love, my favorite thing about them is the ball, like getting the ball back abilities, which for new players, you should play them so you know where that threat is, the rough seas, the seduced kind of stuff, because you can be sitting back there and you think you have the ball hidden, and if you don't know the fish, well, surprise.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing is, like, they can get the ball back with so many different characters that that's what makes them a great guild. So, looking at it, let's just kind of start with the captains. You have, obviously, Shark, who is, I think he is one of the best captains to play as a new player. And then you also have Corsair, which is, you know, he's also a good, you know, person to help you score. But he also sets up this unique kind of damage game where you can also get takeouts. So looking at the two captains, which one do you guys like? And obviously Corsair is the better win rate right now, but what do you guys like about the two captains?
Shark's easier to learn.
Okay, so Shark's easier.
I like Shark because being a sports guy, he's not about the fighting part of it. He's about the sports and there's a ball on the field and yeah. Go kick it a goal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's just all about scoring. He's just going to – he's such a just an awesome scorer. I mean, I think he's – even after the nerf, he's still, if not the best, one of the best scorers in the game.
And the list that he can take with him, he can always put together one of the very best scoring lists in the game.
Oh, definitely. By far.
He's fantastic that way. Tips for new players, don't forget his legendary play.
Oh, man, I tell you.
So that legendary play can definitely ruin people's day. Make sure that you consider where he's at before you score, those types of things. Pop that legendary play at the right moment, and you basically get a free goal out of it.
Yeah, and where his legendary really shines is when you're going in for a goal and you're kind of going into the teeth of your opponent. You're going into their team. And right before you shoot that goal, pop that legendary, especially if you're the first model activating, because then their whole turn, they have to deal with this -4/-4 movement. And it's so ridiculous, but it's also necessary because that lets Shark kind of live a little bit longer, maybe help the team adjust and get the ball. So I think that you just need to know to pop that legendary at the earliest point in a turn that you can, usually when you're going to score a goal.
Well, the other thing is be prepared to gauge when you're going to use it in the sense that sometimes you're charging in and you want to pop it after you've charged in, but then you're going to title surge and use that dodge to get closer to the goal or something like that. It's not necessarily right before you are going to score, but it's going to be on a turn that you score and when you have the most people within 6 inches.
Yep.
But that legendary play, what it should mean is it should mean that you can always score at least one goal without the repercussions of a takeout, which is huge for a scoring.
I'd say it's a little more challenging now because he got nerfed, so he doesn't have gut and string anymore. And they got rid of knee slider, so you can't get, 9 inches away as opposed to now you can only go 4 inches down. So you're not immune to the repercussions if you legendary, but it makes it more difficult.
The game plan deck was... Right. Yeah, the game plan deck was a nerf to Shark in a way because of losing knee slider. He can't do that kickoff. You know, if I play him, I always kick off with him and go and try and score, catch everybody in net, and then hope I had knee slider and get out. So
yeah.
Your first turn's wasted. But without knee slider, he doesn't dodge. He's still maybe in some people's threat range after they're caught in a net.
Especially those kind of faster models, right?
Right.
Corsair is the more, I'd say, challenging captain to learn just because, you know, he's slower. He doesn't, you know, exactly go for this huge, 20-inch score run. So any tips for playing Corsair? And, John, I'm going to defer to you first because you actually played the most fish games. So what do you think about Corsair as far as, like, being useful?
Always know rough seas and know your threat ranges. I think he's with Hag. I think Hag's an auto include with him to try and get him the right angles to drag people in and get those gang up so he can get the two takeouts. I guess he usually goes for like for a 2-2 game. Remember he's close control and sturdy and doesn't get knocked down. And he's such a bitch.
So, I mean, if you're looking to hide the ball, he's like the perfect model to hide the ball on. In that, if you're bringing him in that lineup.
Control model with the legendary play, you should absolutely be able to score, whether conventionally with him or unconventionally getting the benefits to another model. There, he has a lot of resources, and the reason why he's got a high win rate on Longshanks, in my opinion, you are able to get more creative with how you use his abilities, and it's more difficult for your opponent to manage those abilities. It seems like he always has something that's a good answer. When you're trying to get the ball off him, then he has close control. When he's going to counterattack, you can't knock him down because he's got sturdy. Things like that. He's always just got some creative answer, and things like rough seas that other models don't just get to have.
And I tell you what I like, and this is a trick that I've seen good Corsair players use, is let's say you have like a defense 5 model, right, that has the ball and you're playing Corsair. Something that I've seen that's very, very effective is you go into another model, you hit them because they're a lower defense, and then if you can hit drag off of your character, off the playbook, and then drag that model that has the ball into the scrum and then buy an attack on it because you have a tackle on a 1, that's the best way I've seen drag used besides the obvious, like, first turn drag somebody in. Getting drag off of your playbook by hitting a lower defense model to drag in that person with the ball is an awesome play I've seen used.
All I know is I look at his playbook and thank goodness Rough Seas can't be
triggered off of that.
Triggered off of a Guild Ball result. Because
yeah.
That, if they made that one change, this model would be broken as all hell.
Actually, there's some people that are kind of like, man, I can't believe this guy hasn't gotten nerfed yet just because of how good he is.
Right. Well, you use Siren for that. The charge with Siren and hit Seduced on it and make them pass to Corsair or something.
Well, the problem with Seduced is if you do Seduced, John, you can't do a pass because that's going to use all three of your influence up.
You can if you charge and hit it in the playbook.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, that's something. I guess you're in there then with your attack 3 and, you know, your plus 4 dice. So, yeah, I can see that, I guess.
Right.
You're going to want to do that against models that don't have armor, though. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you guys this, because there's going to be some questions that we're going to answer here in a minute, because I got some last-minute questions from Gubs. Looking at it, what are some models that don't see play in the guild that, I mean, that they just have?
Vet Siren.
Okay, yeah.
She got nerfed hard, so that's
one. Yeah, the nerf to her, if I was making a 10, I probably wouldn't take her anymore.
I mean, I wouldn't either, just because, I mean, the sexy thing about her was she could do Dread Gaze and, like, 2 damage on, like, 3 hits. Yeah, and she was rapping for days.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you don't see her. I'd say another model you don't see a lot of is
Angel.
Yeah, Angel's another one.
I think that's just because fish players are so attached to having the 2-inch reach. So why would you want to take a model that has 1-inch reach?
I think it's that their team is so good. Like, you look at these models and it's like, man, that's a good model. Man, that's a good model. And you look at Angel and you're like, man, she's pretty good. And then it's like, well, she only has 1-inch reach. She's only attack 4.
The only thing I find really great about her is she is awesome to sit on the side, put 2 influence on, and wait for a snapback.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, the Angel I actually think should get more play with Corsair just because of the crazy-ass kick range that she would have. And with her super shot coupled with Corsair's legendary play, you're looking at 6 die, 12-inch kick.
Yeah.
So I actually think more people should take her with Corsair.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how she's played. It's just I think people get too comfortable in what they're used to, that she's just one of those models that has been kind of put aside for this season for whatever reason. Like we said. Any other models you guys think don't get brought a lot in this guild?
Kraken. I don't see Kraken very much anymore.
Yeah.
Newer players take him because of knockdown and the drag and the chance that they might hit Release the Kraken, because Release the Kraken's awesome. But, I mean, he just doesn't hit it much. And he's so... I mean, the 3-0 defense, you can bounce off him. He's a momentum farm.
Yeah, I would bring him, I think, if he was a 2-3 influence model. The fact that he's a 1-3, I look at it and I'm like, I hate him only bringing 1 influence.
Right.
And I feel like you can only really play him with Corsair. Like, you only want to really... And even then, you're not typically bringing him, but you only really want to play him when you want to be able to do some damage and those types of things and suck him in with Corsair.
And you try to protect protect Siren with him, but he's slow and Siren's fast, so it's kind of hard to keep them together.
Yeah, I would really like to see Kraken just get something else. He just needs, like, just there's one, maybe two things missing here. I think if he had another character trait, that might help. He just has tough hide, and that's it.
But let's be real, we don't feel bad for the fish. They don't really need extra stuff. Let's not encourage a buff to crack it.
Well, that sounds like you're really being a little biased there.
How is that the case? I'm just saying, like, they're already a strong guild.
That's like your nemesis.
Kraken could be fun if you wanted to put all tough hide on the field with Corsair and see. Jack, Kraken, Corsair, Fangtooth.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Who the hell is going to bring Fangtooth?
Lon just smiled somewhere because he mentioned Fangtooth.
It could happen. It'd be annoying.
Yeah, I mean, it would be. I mean, he's there, I guess.
You throw Hag in there for fear and for rising anger. Okay.
Yep, then that messes up your all tough hide.
Well, okay. It was a fun thought.
So last thing I want to do with this guild is I want to do, because we got actually a bunch of questions off of Guild Ball supporters. So we'll just kind of get into this just straight up. Let's go ahead and just look at, we got a couple people asking about, like, what's the best and worst matchups for Fish. So let's start with the best matchups. What do you guys think Fish play really well into?
I thought Brewers, because Brewers couldn't hold the ball anywhere other than maybe Mash, and they were slow. In the low defense, they usually got the tackles and got away from them and scored. Let's see.
I think the Fish can, especially Sharkless, plays really well with the Farmers.
Yeah, I'd say as a Farmers player, I hate seeing Fish because it's like, even if I put it on Jack Straw, I'm like, I'm probably not going to keep the ball.
They're not bad. I don't think Corsair is very bad against Hunters because we don't have much. The Hunters don't have much 2-inch melee, so. You know, they shut down Fahad charge, they shut down a Minx charge.
Yeah.
And a lot of low defense models can be on the field for Hunters. Yeah. Tentacles blind the bear.
Poor bear.
The thing about the Fish is because they are so score heavy, basically, you know you always have to be able to outscore your opponent. In order to win, you're going to have to be able to outscore. You're going to have to be able to create crafty, cool scores. So I imagine they're probably going to have the toughest time against teams that have potentially better scoring options.
I know Alchemist hate Corsair.
Yeah, you definitely want to take
and Shark. But
you definitely want to take Corsair against the Alchemists, but
yeah, they don't care about your captain's unpredictable.
So, I mean, what are some bad matchups for Fish? So what's something where it's like, yeah, the Fish really struggle against X Guild?
Theron versus Shark. Once Shark is controlled and hurt and snared, and I think Corsair is good against Hunters, but Shark not so much.
What do you guys think about that Engineers matchup with going into Fish? You're probably going to see Ballista.
Well, the Engineers have a harder time. You know, they can hide the ball because close control, but Rough Seas and Seduced gets around it.
Yeah, if you hit it, I guess.
I mean, who are Engineers not a bad matchup for?
That's probably a fair statement. I think any guild that can get up in their face quick is pretty tough for them.
Yeah, the thing is, velocity is just so good.
Yeah.
And so the velocity is a score that's Fish level with her scoring, so that means that she's going to create some problems. That's why the Fish can see some issues.
Yeah, and her with Nimble, you're probably not hitting Rough Seas.
And then any other bad matchups for the Fish? Anything else that's just like, or even just rough players.
I wonder how those rat catchers are going to do against Fish.
I think rat catchers could give them some problems.
I mean, the rat catchers are going to be able to give a bunch of people problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think morticians are also, you know, Fish don't love that matchup either. Just because, I mean, all the control, all the stuff that they can use to just kind of fuck up what you're trying to do with the Fish, right?
Right.
What are your thoughts about Union versus Fish?
Which captain?
Well, that's the thing, right?
I think Rage kind of has a problem into it just because of all the 2-inch reach.
And the fact that you have to kind of be close together.
And spread.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Shark's a great drop into Rage.
I know that they're going to run through Brisket 3 lists, but I think that if you're Union and you're going against the Fish, you need to drop Blackheart.
Yeah, I think Blackheart's
that's the only way
there.
That you're going to do it because you need the dodge benefits and those types of things.
Yeah, they just have a heart. I guess you could hide the ball in somebody like Benediction.
Benediction. You know, and I talk trash on Benediction, and I have no problem saying that I'm an idiot sometimes, but Benediction in cover with, you know, Braced is just damn near impossible to get the ball off.
Yeah, especially since he's got that double push on too.
Yeah, 3-4 turns out is tough to deal
with. Oh, idiot.
Thanks, John. Thanks. All right, so looking at the next question that we have on here, I ignore Mike Klein's comment. Just
why? What did he say?
He just said, "Why do you refer to fighting teams as melee? Aren't Fish a melee team? Why are you confusing?"
Cool.
And it is just so we can create rage in the community. That's all we do, is we just cause problems.
Well, isn't that the point of this podcast?
Pretty much. Just to throw some nonsense out there for people to get angry
about.
What do
you mean, nonsense?
Just nonsensical, just bullshit. That's all we do here.
No, I mean it.
Of course you do.
Which is what really pisses them off, isn't it?
So let's kind of do this real quick. Who are some players that you like bringing with Shark? So who are the other players that you like bringing?
Hag.
Okay. I think Hag's an auto-include for both captains.
I do too.
I think that she can always be useful, but I don't know that she's an auto-include.
Well, she's definitely an auto-include for Corsair. An extra 4 inches on turn one, if you want to do her legendary, just makes his threat so much viable.
I mean, you're with Shark, I always want so much influence on him or on other people trying to get the ball that having a player like Hag who does something for free is so needed in that guild.
Such a great battery. She does that character play for free. She's bringing two. She has a great legendary. She has fear. So if you're going to go into her, you got to pay extra. I love her. She has Shadow Light, which is great to help her escape a little bit.
Yeah. See, when I think of the auto include there, I think of Sakana.
I mean, Sakana's good.
Sakana
fits in a Shark team.
Yeah.
And of course,
I don't know. I think Sakana's good, but I don't know that he's an auto. He's not an auto include for me.
I say he's an auto include, but I like him. He's good.
When would you not take him?
I just kind of competing. Like, I think he could be. You already got so many scores that, I mean, you could just bring somebody else. I mean, he's good, but he can be replaced, I feel, with other scorers.
I mean, I could see me not taking him in it like a Shark, Salt, Grayscales, Siren, Hag, Jack.
Yeah, because if you want to get Jack to get that scoring threat to Salt, I could see him being switched out.
And another thing with Shark, we didn't talk about the title surge. Again, you know, he could do it to enemy players as well to get him close to the pitch for Jack to finish off.
Yes.
So, see you later.
Answer your question, though, originally, a Shark list, I think that you're looking at potentially Jacques, you're looking at Sakana, you're looking at Hag. I like Tentacles in most cases. Siren, I like taking with Shark a lot. Grayscales, I like in general. The unpredictable movement with Grayscales is really nice. And where they go, so he's got a lot of movement options.
Yeah, like Siren's obviously good with him too, because she can make you kick the ball to fish. All right, so what about Corsair? What goes really good with Corsair? What do you need to bring with him, especially if you're trying to get 2 takeouts?
Hag.
Obviously, you guys are going to say Hag now.
What do you guys think about bringing Gutter? I mean, people can't bring Avarice and Greed anymore, so does Gutter help him get those 2 takeouts?
She helps against some teams. I think she's, I don't know. I think she's okay.
If Gutter went to the fish, she would have had that fucking drag on her.
Probably. 2 drags.
So much drag.
She would have.
All the drag.
Should drag you into Corsair's drag.
Right, and then drag with Kraken out of it just for good.
Yeah, I think Gutter's okay, but she doesn't have.
So who do you get to take? No. I mean, because the problem is, if you drag somebody in Corsair, it makes it hard for you to kill a model with him. So who's going to come in and clean that up?
I don't know. I think you pound on one with Corsair, and then you look at Jack to push one off. Because if Jack's on the board, you have to stay away from the edges. Yeah. You have to stay, what, 8 inches away from the edge?
Yeah, something like that, because he has his 4-inch push, and then he can just push the crap out of it.
Let's see. What is ramming speed, 2-inch push, and then he has he has 1-inch push on 2 and 2-inch push on 5. So at least 7 inches away to be safe if he has 2 influence, 3 influence on him.
I mean, Sakana's good with Corsair. Sakana can do some damage to finish people off too, I guess.
And weak point to help Corsair do damage.
There you go. So maybe that's an option too for people. I think Gunner's got to be the play there too. It's just, how else are you going to do damage momentously? That's the question.
I'm going to throw it out there. Fangtooth.
Oh, come on now.
2 damage knocked. 2 damage knocked down on 3. It's momentous.
Get the hell out of here with that shit.
Hey. So there are fish players, like I said, Lon loves Fangtooth, so I mean, that's something. I mean, that is something, I guess.
Yeah, it's something else. That's what it is.
I would like to see it. I think some people could do some unique things with that.
You know what? I imagine that people could do really unique things with Fangtooth, mostly because nobody would have any fucking clue what Fangtooth is going to do, because that's how often you see him on the table.
I'm doing it. I'm playing it this week. All tough hide and hag.
Yeah, I mean, our buddy Gabe from Georgia basically asked, how do you deal with tough hide now that Avarice and Greed are gone? So
don't. I mean, that, as a Hunters player, every time I play fish, and it's usually Corsair, I take the bear just to get beat on.
Yeah.
I throw the bear at Corsair and say, here you go. It's tough hide. I know you're going to get a bunch of hits, but I'm going to go and push you out and knock you down, or well, try hit you, do something, and heal myself and just make you do it all over again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it is tough. I mean, I don't know now if you're like, oh, well, there's too much tough hide, so now I have to play Shark. I don't know what the answer for that's going to be.
I mean, if you have a tough hide model, you throw him at Corsair and let him go to town. It's just because he's going to get somebody. He might as well choose who they get. How do you deal with it, though? Knock him down and go to somebody else.
Just got to keep him busy and just, you know, go kill somebody else.
Yeah, I think that you're making a mistake with how you're playing the guild if you're trying to beat your head against the wall taking out tough hide models.
Yeah, that was the thing with Avarice and Greed, though. They didn't care. They just, they would.
Kind of going into another option, going into another question, is the game plan deck. If you have Kick Them While They're Down,
yeah,
that deals with it real, real easily.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I guess if you draw that, then it makes it a little bit easier, right?
Right.
You get to draw it before you have to pick the captain.
Yeah, and that was another thing that people said they're going to miss with Avarice and Greed, is that you can't get singled out anymore with the fish.
True.
So that was a big hit, too, is that now, unless you draw that one card, you're not going to be able to get singled out to do all that damage you need to do.
Well, I said earlier, and I believe it to be true, I think that the game plan decks were a little bit of a nerf to scoring teams and a little bit of a buff to melee teams, and that was needed because scoring teams are performing a lot better than melee teams in general. So
yeah.
I don't think that's wrong that they did it that way, or a mistake. I think that that was intentional.
Probably one of the last questions I want to ask, though, is just, so if you have, if you're playing against the fish, what models do you want to focus on taking out the most?
For me, if Shark's on the pitch, he's dying.
Yeah.
Right now.
Why do you say that, John?
He's super dangerous.
Because if you don't, he's going to run around and he's going to score. I mean, there's very, very few ways that you can control Shark outside of like pinned, or if you get lucky and hit a goad. And even if you hit that, the ball can't be close to him because he'll hit you, bounce away, tidal surge, and still go get in and score.
What do you think, Chris? Who's kind of your top priority? I need to kill this model.
Okay, if Tentacles is on the board, kill that fucking thing.
Okay.
Because that blind with Tentacles makes your life a living effing hell.
It can.
Especially when you consider things like, for example, with your farmers, I know I made life hell with the fact that that blind is 8 inches, but Tater's counter charge range is 6.
Yep.
And you just put blind on models, and yeah, that's just annoying, especially for a mascot, the fact that you have to now worry about a mascot, that just sucks.
Yeah.
So I would take out Tentacles. I find that when I'm playing, I do definitely want to take out Shark as quickly as possible, and I find that I take out Sakana a lot. Sakana is a model that I think has a lot of utilities and usually is playing a little bit more up, so go after him.
And something I think is key, that if you can do this, I would do it every time, is I do try to kill Shark whenever I have the chance, just because you can't have him running loose on the team. So he's the biggest target if you see Shark on the board. And I actually, especially if they get a first turn goal, I love to hold him hostage and be like, okay, I'm going to bring you down in health, but I'm not going to kill you till the first activation of turn 2.
Right.
So I think if you can do that, which, I mean, isn't relatively hard to do, that's what you need to do, because it takes him out essentially for, you know, 1.5 turns.
And if you have the 2-inch melee, Grayscales is soft. If you can get to him, he dies easily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can 1-round activation and just drop him.
Yeah, you just need the right thing to go into him to get around the unpredictable movement.
Yeah.
Let's see, 13. Yeah, 13 hits. 13 health. I mean, 4-0.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting about this guild is there are so many, like Siren, or maybe it's Jacques with the tough hide, or the Hag with the fear, and those types of things, that they just have annoying defensive things that they can do. So, I mean, obviously, when I'm trying to pick out targets, I'm looking at the ones that aren't able to do those annoying things.
Okay, so last question of the fish. Do you guys prefer fried fish, baked fish, or broiled? Chris, you're our food Asian. Let's hear you.
Oh, fried, for sure.
Oh, you love fried?
Yeah. Like maybe like beer battered cod.
Ooh.
And then like some fries with it.
That sounds good.
Maybe beer batter on the fries too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, second dinner. I'm feeling it. They're missing the blackened option though.
Yeah, there you go. Which of those three you like? Fried, baked, or broiled?
Oh, I'm going fried for some fish and chips.
Yeah.
I'm definitely down with that. I love fish and chips. Man, I tell you what, there's some good restaurants here in Charleston that do fish and chips upright.
Although I do love taking like a fillet of salmon and like doing it with like lemon and dill and stuff, and maybe on the grill even.
So, anything, last thoughts on fish that you guys would like to drop? Any advice, especially for new players? Because I think the top end people already know what they like to do. But any advice, especially for new players, what they should be looking at to do with these fish, getting into them?
Yeah, learn shark.
Okay.
Shark's the easier one to learn. Shark is going to give you a very clear path toward victory, which is you're going to want to score three times. And I like giving new players that type of instruction where they clearly know, hey, I need to take out models or I need to score here, because with newer players, giving them more choices tends to confuse what they want to do. And I think that this is a guild that gives them a very clear path to victory. And if they aren't able to be successful, that's fine. At least they know they went down the right road and tried to do the right thing by scoring instead of trying to take people up.
John, what have you been telling some of your new guys about the fishermen?
The biggest thing, like shark, learn to score, learn the threat ranges, eyeballing it. Don't be afraid to measure things. Go at it. Dodge off of everything. Kind of teaching new guys, you can't get to this one, but you can get to this model and dodge to get to this one. And then that way, and then for Corsair, the long learning curve of Corsair, don't spread out. We have some newbies that like to spread out just to get to the edges and try and push people off. And once Corsair is spread out, I just feel like he's not nearly as dangerous.
That's true. And I would just say that if you like, especially for a new player, I'm like, if you love scoring, so if that's the part of the game that you really enjoy, this is a guild for you just because they're superb at it. That's their strength. And then as they start to develop a little bit more, that's when you're like, hey, and also here's this new cool piece that you can add, which is called Corsair, and you can do other things with him now. So I think that's why I really like introducing this guild, especially to newer players, because it really is something that can get them into the game and competitive pretty quickly.
The other thing that I would leave as one piece of advice is when you're choosing playbook results, choose the momentous results. It's always tempting for new players to say, hey, I'm in melee, now I want to do damage. The reality is you're not designed to be taking out models, and by you choosing those results, you're right, you are putting damage on your opponent, but you're probably going to be losing the momentum race, and that's going to be a problem when later you want to score and you need some momentum, or you need to heal up models or take conditions off. Choose the momentous results on your playbook, and don't be afraid to forego that 2 damage for a dodge that you're not going to use, just knowing that you'll get some momentum out of it.
Okay, so looking at, before we sign off here, one thing I do want to mention is we've been able to play a lot of games with the new game plan decks. That's something I know I've gotten probably about a dozen games in with them now, just because, I run a lot of stuff for our group, and I've been playing just, casually with them, and can't wait to do the first tournament with them. So what are some things you guys are starting to find out about this game plan deck as you actually start to use them in-game?
I'm so undecided. Do I want to take all high number cards or take things that are going to help me in the game? I can't figure out what my strategy is with them yet.
I tell you what, something that I've started to notice is it's very important to know where those sevens are. So if I get both sevens, I take both of them because I'm like, I got those in my pocket ready to play them if I need that first turn activation, or if I want to make my opponent go first. So knowing where the sevens are is important. Also putting a couple six and fives in there if you can. and just kind of taking those cards that work really well for your guild are also imperative. So I think that's kind of the play you got to do is, yeah, you want a couple of high cards, but you also want those middle and low cards that are going to help you out, like getting the extra movement to surprise your opponent, getting the extra kick. I mean, I finally got to play Josh out of the dojo, and he got, man, what was it? It was like a 5-die kick to win the game because he had that plus one kick, and I was just like, you know, what am I going to, what can you do there, right? Not that he needed it.
Right, it's engineers. They can have 5 anyways.
Yeah, right. So I think just realizing what cards work good for your guild and then taking a couple of those high-end cards just to make sure that, you know, when you need it, you got it.
The other factor, though, that you want to consider, and I don't mean to muddle this up, but there have definitely been times where I've drawn a good amount of high cards, and I haven't felt concerned about discarding some of them because I at least know that my opponent doesn't have them.
Yeah.
And so I can maybe, like, there was one time that I got both 7s and a 6, and I was like, okay, well, I don't need to keep both these 7s. I can just keep the 6 or 1-7, and that way I know that my opponent can't use it, and I have a team that generates a lot of momentum, so I have a good chance of being up on momentum at the end of a turn, and I know they're not going to outpace me with the card that they choose.
Yeah, the new strategy with these game plan cards is definitely very interesting. I think it's a lot more engaging and fun than those old cards where it was just like, oh, I just play it now.
Also, don't forget to use them.
Yeah. So that's why you put them out, and you do got to make sure that you have the ability, but you use it as well. So don't forget you have plus one movement, or don't forget that you put singled out on this model. So that is definitely something that's important while you're playing.
I've been using those writable tokens. They're perfect right now until the Muse or Frozen Forge ones come out.
Yeah, so, okay, Frozen Forge is issuing a token set, or are they getting a token set if you order the deck? There was a little bit of confusion about that. You know?
I think it's something separate you buy, because I think Muse is making them too. Didn't they use one of each in the two new, or in the new video?
I think they did, and one thing I would say is that what Steamforge has traditionally done, they usually put cardboard tokens with those decks. So like the Season 3 cards, they came with those little Vengeance tokens, but they were this weak kind of cardboard. So I wouldn't be surprised if they had those in there, but I think definitely picking up like Frozen Forge or Minis is going to be the way to go with them.
Okay.
Any last minute thoughts? Anything you guys want to plug? Any things you're excited about?
Let's try Fangtooth and Fish.
There we go. I'm going to tell Joe that. I'm going to be like, hey, man, you got to try this out.
Okay, event coming up in Charleston. It is actually right before the Rat Catchers get released.
To hype them up.
Yeah, so we're going to try and build some hype with that.
Yeah, so
that is going to be on the 15th of April.
Which is a Sunday.
It is a Sunday. We're going to start at 11. So anybody that wants to come out and potentially try and win some of the things from that pack.
It's going to be a regular OPD tournament.
Yep.
And the winner is going to get, I believe, the Bonesaw model. And then there's going to be basically a best sport, which is going to get
I'm definitely winning that. I'm so
you're running it. So.
Well, I'm a good sport. So, I mean, I'm going to make sure that everyone has a pleasant experience.
Yeah. No.
Hey, I've won best sport before, John. Don't balk at this.
That's called sarcasm.
Best sport win.
Sarcasm recognized when.
Hey, let's talk about this, though, real quick. What the fuck is up with the scale of that Bonesaw in that box?
He finally fits that 50 millimeter base.
Yeah, they made him humongous. He looks like that dude from the Prometheus.
Dude, that base on that new Bonesaw model is insanely detailed. I love
it. That's awesome. Awesome.
But they did make him. Oh, I mean, Space Marine.
I think in the fluff, I mean, he's a relatively tall, like, monk, like, esque dude. So, I mean, he kind of fits now, where as opposed to being his, like, crouching tiger hidden pose, I don't know what you want to call it.
You mean the dance master?
Yeah.
Old, you know, breakdancing?
Yeah.
B-boy?
B-boy from the street?
I just thought it looked a little bit ridiculous with that model compared to the Vet Graves model.
Yeah.
I was just like, what's going on here? So, I don't know. We got to, like,
I actually just got a whole Mortician's Guild, so I got that.
That's cool. Well, now you're going to be able to add in a giant ass bone saw.
Yeah, I mean, that I would love to have that model. That model looks really
that's funny because I actually like the original one better.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think that him in the breakdown.
I think that new model's way better.
Oh, see, I think he looks like ridiculously large. Just like I feel the same way about Skulk. I don't like the way that the scale is going with some of these. I think that they're just getting bigger and way too big. Like, yeah, I recognize that the Masons were just like
tiny
little dwarves before, but this is getting a little bit ridiculous, I think.
Oh, and so last thing, let's make this the very last thing. Chris is actually going to jump on the old Hunter bandwagon, I think.
It's not so much a Hunter bandwagon, it's more of a Falconer's.
They put out that, hey, this guild's going to do a bunch of damage, and Chris is like, sign me up.
Yeah, it's about time. I want a melee guild.
Welcome to the dark side.
Well, here's the deal. I think that for everyone listening, that get ready to start playing these minor guilds as they come out because they're going to be stronger than the Raider.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of people that are like, oh, I can't wait to play, you know, the Rat Catchers. And then I'm sure once we get some rules for the Falconers, people are like, oh, I can't wait to play the Falconers.
After watching Perkins with the Rat Catchers twice, it's easy to believe.
Plus, let's not ignore the fact that in tournaments, they get +1 to the die roll, and they get an extra card for the game plan deck.
It's ridiculous.
Did I catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're playing a minor guild, you get +1 to your die roll to see who kicks and receives, and you get an extra card.
Oh, I'm absolutely playing the
Falconers.
You now have to play one of the minor guilds because...
You don't have to.
No, you do. No. And the reason why is because...
Don't put that in my American lap and tell me I have to do something.
Okay, fine. You don't have to. You'd just be dumb not to because the fact of the matter is they're going to have fewer models to choose from. Thus, those models, to be balanced with the rest of the game, are going to have to individually be stronger than average. And be able to do more stuff than average.
But they're easier to game plan against because you know that's what they're bringing. So I know what I need to defend against or I know what I need to counter.
Sure. And I imagine that you're going to see a lot of strong models. And with the Falconers, I mean, now I'm just clearly everyone's of the mindset of like get good, nothing needs a nerf. So I don't want to hear anybody complain that the Falconers need a nerf when I get like a melee guild that I love now. Because I have a strong feeling that these minor guilds are going to be stronger and people are going to be clamoring for
nerfs. Dude, I just hope that Birdman gets to play for the Hunters. That would be so
cool. Oh, the Jeepers Creepers looking thing? Yeah, love it. Love it.
Yeah,
he's so got to...
Go ahead, John.
He's got to have, like, be able to fly over bases and throw the ball on the goal from a ridiculous amount of way because he can fly. It's got to happen. It's what hunters need.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what those Falconers can do.
Alright, well with that being said, guys, let's roll some dice and throw some salt. I think we're done here.
We're out.